There's a new one against Thurston County, because Thurston County has apparently issued a face mask edict requiring the wearing of face masks in Thurston County. The Freedom Foundation has filed a lawsuit, and we have their attorney with us. Shella Sadovnik is with us to explain why they're taking Thurston County to court. And Shella, thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you, Kirby, for having me. We're really happy to speak to you. You know, this lawsuit is very personal to me, and it's very personal to the Freedom Foundation. We're just all sick and tired of all this government overreach. You know, based on the ever-changing science and the ever-moving goalposts, mm-hmm. we can't go to work. Our businesses are closed. We're told when and how to wash our hands. And all the meanwhile, hordes of people are outside rioting and looting, taking over blocks of Seattle, and the politicians are silent. So, you know, when you hit that enough is enough point, then you realize you have to do something about it.
What does the edict call for? And this is the Thurston County regulation, is that correct?
That's right. It's for Thurston County, and it was promulgated by the local health officer, Diana Yu, just to remind everyone that is not an elected position. And it requires any child over 3 years of age and any person over 3 years of age, basically, to be wearing a face mask at any time they're outside.
Anytime they're outside.
Yes.
Okay.
As long as there's a chance that they could be within 6 feet of another human being, that's what's required.
So this isn't just when you're in the store or when you're in the office. It's basically when you leave your door to walk in the neighborhood, if you go to the park, if you're out, whatever the case might be, you need to wear a face mask outside. And their justification for this is?
You know, that's the part that's tricky. There is no real justification for this. Thurston County has a population of nearly 300,000 people. As of today, when I checked, there are 24 people that currently have COVID-19 that have tested positive in the entire county. And, you know, there have been 198 cases, 173 have already recovered, there's been 4 deaths, and yet all of us are required to wear face masks all the time, regardless of whether we're in that 24 individuals or just anyone who's perfectly healthy and wants to live their lives.
Yeah, it seems to me that I can understand this requirement if you're in a closed atmosphere, if you're in an office and you can't avoid contact with people. I can understand if you got a situation where you have a rising number of deaths and cases and you're trying to stop it. But you raise a valid point with me with the constantly changing goalposts. And the public health officials who say, well, you know, you got to do this unless you're protesting racial injustice, and then it's okay. It seems to me that they've brought this on themselves with this lack of credibility.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that. And what's more is that this is phrased as something to educate the public. But the reality is, if they wanted to educate the public, they would post some studies on Twitter showing, or, you know, whatever way they communicate with the public, showing why face masks actually work to prevent the spread of coronavirus. Instead, the science is sketchy on it, and we're forced to all wear face masks without any real basis for it. So it's very frustrating, and I don't appreciate the need to be, quote, educated.
And by the way, for what it's worth, as I understand it, there's a difference between a paper mask and a cloth mask and other masks, and that, in fact, cloth masks may be more hazardous than other types of masks, and yet we see everyone, you know, encouraging cloth masks to be made. I agree with you. The science just isn't clear. And then they also admitted to us, Dr. Fauci at least admitted, that they lied to us in the beginning when they told us we didn't need one.
That's right. And one thing that's not taken into consideration is the fact that people have a variety of health needs. I myself am pregnant, and it's difficult for me to breathe. Thank you. Thank you. It's very exciting. But with this face mask directive, you know, it's difficult for me to breathe in a mask. And I have been, there's also the aspect of the public opprobrium. I have been yelled at the local QFC by a big burly man for not wearing a face mask. He just thinks he's in the moral right to come over and yell at me, and he doesn't even know my situation. And these kinds of edicts, right. This is the exact kind of thing that they are creating, just pitting neighbor against neighbor.
See, I guess when I approach this, if you ask me to wear a mask when I'm in your house, I would accede to that because it's your house and you make the rules. If you ask me to wear a mask in your store, I would accede to that because it's your store. But this mass enforcement of compelling everyone without, I think, and by the way, if you want to wear a mask on your own because you think it'll keep you healthy, I have no problem with that either. It's the compulsory nature of this that rubs me the wrong way when there's no evidence indicating that at this stage of the pandemic, this is going to do anything to seriously impact it, especially when you have numbers like you have in Thurston County.
That's very true. And there's another aspect. There is a reason it rubs you the wrong way, just like it rubs me the wrong way. And the thing is that there is a free speech right under the Washington State Constitution not to have to participate in speech you don't believe in. And these masks have become a kind of virtue signaling for people. And requiring everyone to wear them is kind of like requiring them to espouse their support for government policies like the lockdown and like the face masks that they may not support at all, because once again, the science on this is highly controversial.
Yeah, and I want to point out to everybody again what the Freedom Foundation and Shell are talking about is not wearing a mask. They're talking about the forced use and mandatory wearing a mask imposed by local government without a significant justification and the changing goalpost. It has nothing to do if you wear a mask. It's not that you're bad. It's just that the question is, should we all be forced to do that? So, Shell, are you representing particular plaintiffs in this case, or is it Freedom Foundation? Are there people who came forward and said, I want to contest this in court?
We actually had quite a few people, but so far we are representing four very lovely Thurston County residents, one of whom is a nurse, one of whom is a firefighter, and another one of whom owns a coffee shop. And each one of these individuals is affected very negatively by this mask directive, whether it's to their business or their personal lives, or more significantly, just the fact that they do not want to have on their face something that says to the public, I agree with this policy, when they don't.
Okay. Now, do you have any kind of timeline? I know courts are, I know it's hard to say, but I'm just asking for the audience if there's any idea when this might be heard and resolved. I know the courts are difficult and they're closed in some cases, blah, blah, blah. But any ideas?
Yeah, so it's an interesting question. We actually filed this case in Lewis County, which is a neighboring county to Thurston County, just so that there's not a conflict of interest between our case against Thurston County and mm-hmm. the county itself. And then what happens is next Friday, there's actually going to be a hearing in Lewis County on a preliminary injunction, which is essentially an emergency request from the court that they issue this mask directive null and void. And if we succeed on that, then that would be great. And then until the pendency of this case is over, we are going to be able to not have to, the mask directive will essentially not be enforced. So we'll know next Friday what the timeline is.
Let me ask this, and you may not be able to answer this question, but I'll ask it anyway, Shella, on behalf of you or the plaintiffs, if in the courtroom, Thurston County provided substantial evidence, documentation, scientific evidence that this was necessary to prevent the future spread of pandemic, the second wave, whatever you call it, if they had some sort of science that was credible, do you think your plaintiffs might change their mind on this if they had it?
So I think there's two parts to that. The first one is the fact that the person who promulgated this directive is the local health officer. Mm-hmm. She is not elected, so she is not accountable to the public. Mm-hmm. So had it been promulgated by the local health board, which is a board of elected individuals, I think that would be different. And okay. We do challenge her authority there.
Okay.
And I also think that the fact that this directive is was done in Thurston County, a county that, even if the masks help with the spread of the virus, has essentially no virus problem. That also, I think, has a big effect on our plaintiffs.
No, I can appreciate that. If it's perhaps Yakima County or some other troubled areas like New York City, it'd be a whole different scenario, I suspect. One last question for you, and again, we're talking with Shella Sadovnik, who is an attorney with Freedom Foundation representing four plaintiffs in Thurston County, asking for the edict which the local health officer just issued wearing masks required when you're outside be stricken down. Is there any indication that she consulted with the health board or had the consent of the health board or the order for the health board to go ahead and do this? Any idea of the procedure? In other words, can she act on their behalf, or do they actually have to take a formal action of saying, this is what we need, and then you must enforce this? Because what you're telling me is she basically did it, and there's no indication that the elected board agreed with it or told her to do it. She did it on her own, and I understand that issue. But any indication where the elected board stands?
So, you know, I don't know the answer to that, and it is something that throughout the lawsuit we hope to discover. But ultimately, you know, our Constitution has a separation of powers, and there is a legislative branch and an administrative branch, and she belongs to the latter, so she should be doing her job and enforcing rather than creating new law.
Yeah, I suspect that this whole COVID-19 might bring about a new respect for federalism and separation of powers among some people who before this time were totally unaware that it actually existed. I'm just hoping there's a lesson here about separation of powers and the appropriate power and authority of legislative, executive, judicial, and administrative. I hope that's a lesson we learn out of all of this. Shella Sadovnik is an attorney with Freedom Foundation representing four plaintiffs before Thurston County. Shella, listen, thanks for being with us on such short notice, number one. And number two, as this develops, please keep us in the loop and let us know how it goes. We want to follow this closely. All right?
Will do.
Okay.
Will do. Thank you
Thank
so
you.
Much.
You have a good weekend, and congratulations again, Mom.